Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Hello and welcome to Africa Link. This Friday, May the 12th, I'm Crispin Mwakideu.
And I'm Isaac Mugabe, co-hosting this program live from our studios in Bonn, Germany.
And coming up, tension in Ivory Coast as soldiers differ over a bonus payment.
They want to be compensated for what they claim are actions they have done on behalf of the government that haven't been compensated.
And of course, we'll be reading some of your comments that you've been posting on our Facebook page and, of course, on Twitter.
And Zambian opposition leader Hakainde Hichilema appears in court over treason charges as the political situation in the country worsens.
We see our cadres every day here. They come running to us wanting help because they've been beaten, they've been brutalized.
Do stay with us for these stories and more right after we find out what's been happening around the world.
I'm Brandon Conradis with DW News. Several British hospitals have reported experiencing major computer problems as a result of what they believe might be a cyber attack. Hospitals in London, Northwest England, and other parts of the country are taking precautionary measures in response to the incident and have told the public not to come other than in case of emergency. The Democratic Republic of Congo's health ministry said a new case of Ebola has been found in the country, the first in several years. The World Health Organization said that at least three people have been reported dead from the virus in a remote northeast region of the country. The last outbreak of Ebola in Congo occurred in 2014, killing dozens of people. U.S. President Donald Trump has issued an apparent warning to recently sacked FBI Chief James Comey not to leak information to the press. Trump assailed Comey and his critics on Twitter on Friday as anger mounts over what some argue was an attempt by Trump to halt an investigation into his administration's alleged ties with Moscow. In an interview the previous day with NBC's Lester Holt, Trump explained why he made the decision.
I was going to fire Comey, knowing there was no good time to do it. And in fact, when I decided to just do it, I said to myself, I said, you know, this Russia thing with Trump and Russia is a made-up story. It's an excuse by the Democrats for having lost an election.
A court in the U.S. state of California has approved a settlement plan by German auto company Volkswagen in connection to the diesel emissions cheating scandal. District Judge Charles Breyer agreed on Friday for VW to pay at least $1.2 billion to owners of 80,000 3-liter vehicles in the U.S. that did not meet pollution standards. It's the latest chapter in a scandal that has led the German company to settle claims totaling $25 billion so far. This news comes to you from DW in Bonn, Germany. The president of South Sudan said on Friday that tensions were rising between his government and ousted Army Chief Paul Malong, but reassured the public that a new armed standoff would not take place. Malong has failed to return to the capital of Juba following his dismissal, raising concerns about his next move. Kiir said in a press conference that he had recently spoken to Malong.
Yesterday, when I talked to him last, he was not in a good mood. He was in a fighting mood. I tried to calm him down, but he was rather wild. In any case, I want to assure everybody in the Republic of South Sudan that this situation will be contained as it is today, and nobody should still continue with the fears that people have been living in the last few days.
Malong's sacking came amid a worsening civil war in the country, which began in 2013 when Kiir fired his deputy, who was a member of a rival ethnic community. German investigators have found new evidence incriminating a man suspected of being behind an attack on the Borussia Dortmund soccer team's bus in April. Authorities in the state of Baden-Württemberg found notes sketching out attack plans in the apartment of the man, a Russian-German national. One team member and a police officer were injured in the attack, in which three shrapnel-filled devices exploded in a hedge as the bus was driving past. The 28-year-old suspect has denied allegations that he staged the attack. For more news and information, please visit our website at dw.com. I'm Brandon Conradis.
You're listening to Africa Link with me, Crispin Mwakideo.
And Isaac Mugabe.
Up in arms, soldiers in several cities across Ivory Coast have been staging a revolt over a bonus payment dispute. The tense situation led the National Security Council to hold an emergency meeting on Friday, according to a defense ministry source. Bram Postumus has been closely monitoring the story, and I asked him to explain what this bonus payment was all about, and we apologize in advance for the poor telephone line.
It's a breach basically about money and about perks. The soldiers who are actually in their third, and if you count the one that happened earlier this week as well, in their fourth uprising since the year began, want money and they want villas and they want to be compensated for what they claim are actions they have done on behalf of the government that haven't been compensated. So it's at the end of the day, it's all about money.
Who is commanding these soldiers? I mean, are they part of the Ivory Coast Army, or are they like rebels, or who are they loyal to?
That is a very good question. This army was born out of the rebellion movement, the rebel movement that helped the north of Cote d'Ivoire from 2002 to 2011, and have been, you know, augmented with elements from the former army under President Gbagbo, from freelancers, from even mercenaries. And so you have a series of factions, all with their own agendas and all with their own command and control structures, if you like, and there is no willingness on the part of the government to clear this up, to clean this out, and to create that one control and command structure, which is the norm for an army. And what you have as a result is that every time there is some faction or other that decides to stage a rebellion, asking for money, the government gives them what they want, and then there is another group in the army that says, if they can do it, so can we. And this is the situation we've had since the beginning of the year.
Now, it appears, as you've mentioned, that there seems to be a split now within some of these factions amongst these soldiers. So how possible is it that this could lead to an outbreak of violence? Or is it just that they now know that they can get more money and they play this game with the government?
Well, the thing is that they don't believe the government has more money for two reasons. The first reason is that the government is always bandying about how wonderfully well the Ivorian economy is doing. And secondly, the government has always found money to pay them in previous instances. So they simply don't believe there is no money.
DW correspondent Bram Posthumus. Let's now turn our attention to the international scene. US President Donald Trump today issued a thinly veiled threat to former FBI Director James Comey. Using his preferred Twitter account to speak out, Trump wrote, "Comey better hope that there are no tapes of his conversations." And for the first time, President Trump admitted that part of the reason for sacking Comey had to do with investigation as to whether Trump's campaign colluded with Russia in last year's election. Ineke Mills brings us more on this story.
U.S. President Donald Trump has gone on the offensive against former FBI Director James Comey, tweeting he had better hope there are no tapes of their conversations. Trump took to Twitter this morning to issue a series of complaints over the ongoing saga of Comey's surprise firing earlier this week. In his usual characteristic, he also attacked the press over their extensive coverage of the Russian probe and Comey's sacking. The combative president went so far as threatening to cancel White House press briefings in the future in favor of handing out written responses. In an interview with NBC overnight, Trump said he had asked former intelligence chief Comey directly whether he too was part of the Russian investigation.
A dinner was arranged. I think he asked for the dinner. And he wanted to stay on as the FBI head. And I said, I'll, you know, consider. We'll see what happens. But we had a very nice dinner. And at that time, he told me, "You are not under investigation," which I knew anyway.
He also admitted his decision to fire Comey was influenced by the agency's investigation into possible collusions between Russian officials and his election team.
And in fact, when I decided to just do it, I said to myself, I said, you know, this Russia thing with Trump and Russia is a made-up story. It's an excuse by the Democrats for having lost an election.
His statement contradicts the White House's official account, which claims Comey was let go over the mishandling of the investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails in the lead-up to last year's election. On Thursday, acting FBI head Andrew McCabe also disputed claims by the White House that Comey had lost support within the organization.
Ineke Mills reporting.
Well, President Trump says he will think about the Russian investigation when he made the decision to fire FBI Director Comey. And Karen Monroe tweeted, "Just like the other two firings, clearly obstruction of justice."
Right, and another tweet coming from Tony Posnansky, who wrote back, since recordings are in quotations, like in the Twitter, it looks like you, President Trump, are admitting you wiretapped Comey. Can you elaborate?
Yeah, Jimmy Cramer wonders whether his staff will finally wake up and take his Twitter away, to which Beth says, no, we need this. It's so much fun watching him bury himself deeper and deeper with every tweet.
All right, so let's keep those comments coming in. To Zambia now, where opposition leader Hakainde Hichilema will find out next Monday what sentence he will face for treason charges. Hichilema has been in remand for nearly a month after he was arrested for blocking the presidential motorcade. He narrowly lost the 2016 election to President Edgar Lungu and unsuccessfully challenged the results. From Lusaka, Kathy Sikombe reports.
Clad in a red jacket party regalia, Hichilema arrived in court to a rousing welcome from his supporters. There was a heavy presence of police outside the courtroom who turned away most of the opposition leader's supporters, some of whom were even beaten up and harassed. As he entered in the dock, Hichilema, who seemed to be in a happy mood, waved to his supporters. Loveness Mambo is United Party for National Development, UPND supporter who was caught up in the confusion and also denied entry into the courtroom.
With this violence, we see our cadres every day here. They come running to us wanting help because they've been beaten, they've been brutalized, they've been called all sorts of names, names of tribe. What's wrong with a person belonging to a certain tribe in this country? What's wrong with that, Mama? Aren't we one people? Why should only one tribe be victimized? Why should we always be thought to be a second-class citizen of this country?
Hichilema remained silent throughout the court session. Since he was arrested, there has been increased political tension in Zambia, and political analyst Boniface Chembe says the situation is worrying.
The nation continues to remain in a state of tension, which most Zambians don't believe is good for the country, where issues of foreign direct investments, general economic growth and development are concerned. We have been making an appeal together with other stakeholders in the country that what needs to be done right now is to start a process of forgiveness, start a process of healing, and start a process of reconciliation. That necessarily means that dialogue must be prioritized by the head of state and the ruling party, but also by opposition political party leaders.
Zambian President Edgar Lungu has rubbished calls for dialogue with the opposition to calm the situation, saying he will only do so when they recognize him as the duly elected president of Zambia. On the other hand, the opposition has refused to recognize President Edgar Lungu due to alleged electoral fraud in last August's general elections. The international community, including European and US leaders, have called for the opposition leader's unconditional release from prison where he has been held for the past 1 month.
Kathy Sikombe reporting in Lusaka.
Now, John in Kenya wrote us and said, only in Africa is where opposition leaders and their associates are thrown in jail and their names tarnished. And McDonald Dimba from Kafue, Zambia, says a clear political move and not wanting his rights to be heard over the election petition.
Right, Isaac. I'm still sort of mesmerized, should I say, by this Donald Trump saga in the US. I understand today he also said that he's considering actually cancelling media briefings.
Yeah, press briefings and only issuing papers to avoid what he said, you know, confusion.
Exactly.
Anyway, this story has taken many people, you know, it's taken a storm on Twitter. And Steve B says democracy is really taking a hammering under this awful administration. How long can it continue?
Another comment from George Nomad, who says, given the unprecedented press obsession with him and the perverted obsession with his wife, I don't blame him.
Yeah, many tweets also, people are saying that, you know, the media is a little bit, you know, obsessed with his life, his personality, his workings, and also his decisions when he decides to fire, you know, many people in just a short period of time anyway.
That's right. So we'll keep following that story on Trump as well as other stories in Africa, of course, the one in Zambia, the sentencing coming next week on Monday. So keep it Africa Link, and all those comments, we'll read them right here on the program. You're listening to Africa Link with me, Crispin Mwakideu.
And I'm Isaac Mugabe.
Coming up in the next quarter of an hour, South Sudan's President Salva Kiir says he is concerned about the plans of his sacked army chief, who failed to return to Juba on Friday.
Yesterday, when I talked to him last, he was not in a good mood. He was in a fighting mood. I tried to calm him down, but he was rather wild.
Stick around to hear what General Malong has to say to that in an exclusive interview with Africa Link.
But very cautiously, our usual contributor John from Kenya said if the general starts another rebellion movement in South Sudan, the humanitarian situation will worsen. And of course, with more comments on the situation in Somalia following a donors conference that ended in London, that is, whenever time allows. Back to Crispin.
Don't miss out on these stories. Plus, the EU and the UN plans to form a joint peacekeeping army in the CAR. But let's head to South Sudan first, where President Salva Kiir has sought to reassure citizens after former army chief General Paul Malong failed to return to Juba. So why did the president sack Malong in the first place? I put that question to none other than the former general himself in an exclusive interview with DW's Africa Link.
I cannot say anything about my relief because the relief is a normal procedures. I've spent 4 years as chief of general staff, and I think general chief of staff lawfully cannot go beyond 4 years, except when the leadership went in to continue. That is not the issue. The issue has something to do with my relation with other institutions, which I was much concerned, and I told the president that he should resolve it. Before it could not be resolved, the relief came within that time. There was no problem on that.
You mentioned earlier that you had issues with some institutions in the country, in the government. Can you explain more on that? What issues did you have with other institutions?
You see, I have a problem with DG, which is the director of National Security Service. He is always manufacturing lies around me, manufacturing doubt around me. And all this, I tell the president. Before president could address it, the relief came. So that was the doubt.
Now, the president, this Friday, today, he told reporters that he was expecting you to return to Juba, but you have not returned. What is preventing you from returning to the capital?
Well, we have sent the delegation. I think you are coming across the noise who are singing here.
Yes, I can hear the background noises. Yeah.
Yes, among them are delegates from Juba. So they are coming to meet me. The outcome of this meeting will be the resolution.
Former Army Chief of the SPLA, General Paul Malong. And it's not just South Sudan which is facing security challenges. The Central African Republic continues to be plagued by violence despite the presence of UN and EU peacekeepers. Now the two international missions are planning on forming one joint mission to boost security and help bring stability to the war-ravaged nation. But as Jen Nyingi narrates in this report by Jan Philip Scholz, not everyone is thrilled about that idea.
The concept of military training is an alien one to most people in the Central African Republic, simply because the National Armed Forces barely even exist. With the European Union launching an official support mission in July 2016, the international community is now urging the country to take more responsibility for its own security. The European training mission for the CAR has a clear mandate to train and ultimately reform local armed forces. But this plan has experienced several difficulties, including a shortage of troops to corruption scandals. The country leadership has been accused of managing the military as their own private organization, with many top posts allocated to family members or restricted to certain ethnic groups. Mode Berit, UN official responsible for reform, told DW that it's important to take into account the complex history of the CAR.
In post-conflict situation, you should consider that you always start almost from scratch, knowing that even if there is somehow armed forces and security services that are operating or operational.
The worst part of it is reoccurrence of human rights abuses, which are allegedly carried out by the military. This has been blamed on allowing former rebels or militia to join the army, with some observers saying it sends a message that rebellion can pay off. Evan Sinkmas from the Center for Civilians in Conflicts says a middle ground for recruitment needs to be found.
there needs to be a priority on ensuring that those who have committed the worst crimes and violations of human rights cannot be involved in that process and should not be reintegrated.
The CAR has been plagued by violence and instability since 2013 after Francois Bozize was overthrown, pitting the Christian anti-Balaka fighters against the mostly Muslim Seleka forces. Tim Glavion from the Hamburg-based Giga Institute for Africa Studies told DW that he doubts the CAR army should even be rebuilt in the face of these current problems.
The army is supposed to protect the country from foreign enemies, not provide security for the entire country. Just the idea that one could somehow use an army to solve domestic problems is absolutely wrong. It could lead to a militarization of social tensions.
Following the growing insecurity in the CAR, even UN forces are no longer safe. This week, five bodies were discovered after their convoy was attacked.
And that report was written by Jan Philip Scholz. Time now for sports and some good news for African football. Africa will field 9 teams at the 2026 World Cup. Currently, only 5 slots are up for grabs. And DW Sports editor Davis van Opdop has been telling me what this expansion means for the continent.
Well, I mean, with 48 slots now, there's definitely around the confederations, there's going to be more slots for everybody. But for Africa in particular, I think it's important because they have, there's been a lot of talk for a long time that FIFA has ignored the smaller countries in Africa and in other parts of the world as well, not just Africa. But I know that there was Tokyo Shishwale, obviously, was running to become FIFA president, and he was basically campaigning on the fact that he's trying to give Africa a bigger stance in FIFA. And with these 9 slots, I think it's very important that it shows that Africa is getting more attention in the football, and we're considering how talented of a continent they are in the game of football.
And do you think that these now extra slots will somehow translate to improving and developing football in the African continent?
Well, I know that greater participation is always important. I mean, if these countries have goals as to reach the World Cup, then there is going to be more of an impetus to try to develop the football to qualify for it. I know that Africa has put a lot of emphasis on the Africa Cup of Nations, which is why you see a lot of top African stars come back for the African Cup of Nations. So I know that maybe with the fact that there's more spots in the World Cup, maybe more players would have the incentive to come back for their countries and also develop the game for their teammates.
Right. Now, Europe has 16 automatic slots. Why is it that Europe has so many automatic slots?
Well, they would argue that they probably would want more. Actually, these 16 slots that, percentage-wise, these 16 slots that Europe has would be less than the current World Cup format. They have 9 in 32 in the last World Cup, and 16 in 48 is less of a percentage. But with how strong the top leagues are in Europe and how competitive it is and how much deeper the middle part of the confederation is, that there's not just strong teams at the top, but there's also teams in the middle. And considering the success that UEFA has had in top international competitions, it's definitely some of the big factors as to why they're asking for 16 spots, and they're probably going to get it.
Manchester United pulled through to the finals almost on the skin of their teeth, but drawing 1-1 with Celta Vigo. What did you make of that game, and do they have now what it takes to even lift the trophy?
Well, they've actually struggled a lot more than I thought they would against Celta Vigo. In the game in Vigo, they only scored on a free kick that arguably the goalkeeper made a mistake. It was, of course, a great free kick to get it over the wall, but arguably the goalkeeper made a mistake. And coming back to Manchester for the second leg, I think a lot of people expected them to handle Vigo more than they did. And the fact that Vigo even had a chance in this game was, I think, a big surprise. Now, Vigo had a huge percent of possession. They were creating a lot of chances. And Manchester United has struggled a lot since Alex Ferguson left. But, of course, he's the coach for a very long time there. But they still should have a really strong chance in the final, considering they have so many players with a lot of experience. And the team that they're playing, Ajax, is just basically a bunch of teenagers and young 20-year-olds in their team. So that experience alone will give them an edge, even if it's ugly result like a 1-0 or 1-1 result in extra time.
DW Sports editor Davies van Obdorp.
Well, on our Facebook page, we asked for your thoughts on FIFA's decision to increase African teams participating at the World Cup tournament of 2016 from 5 to 9.
2026.
Indeed, right. Yes. And we asked you, is it too early, too late? Joseph Makinka Chibabuka wrote back and said, why wait for 2026? What does FIFA take Africa for? Africa has always been marginalized when it comes to football. Sad indeed.
And Fatou Macalister Kabore says Africa has contributed a lot to FIFA and therefore deserves better.
And much as there are so many people are not happy that this will only start in 2026, Obiechina Peter Abugu from Enugu State says, wow, that's a welcome idea and also an increase in the chances of an African country lifting the trophy. All thanks to FIFA for this profound decision. This will, however, make Africans to boost their preparation with regards to FIFA World Cup. Thanks.
And also what Omala Muyanga says, long overdue. Why the heck do you drag Africa's progress always on a snail's pace? We need 12 slots at World Cup. This is all as a result of racial hate. And I hate to hear statements which goes, he's the first black man to achieve blah, blah, blah. We are capable to perform at equal level with anyone, regardless of racial, greed, colour or gender. So this post is insulting to Africa and therefore needs to be removed, Isaac.
Yeah, well, I mean, with sports, everyone has a comment. And of course, as you see, there's divided opinion why it shouldn't start in 2018. Over to Crispy.
Now, every good thing must come to an end. Our very own Mark Colwell has been with Africa Link since it started, and he has now gone into retirement. Africa Link's deputy head, Susan Holton, prepared this farewell message for Mark Colwell.
Time to say
it's the end of an era here on Africa Link as we say goodbye to one of the central figures of the team, who's been with us since Africa Link first went on air 6 years ago.
Hello and a warm welcome to Africa Link, coming to you from Bonn, Germany. I'm Mark Caldwell.
And Mark hasn't only hosted Africa Link during his long career with DW. I'm sure there are many listeners out there who will remember this.
Hello and welcome to Newslink. This is Mark Caldwell in Cologne. On today's programme, the United Nations Food Agency appeals for more funds to help flood-stricken Mozambique. Pollution sours relations between...
Most recently, Mark has regularly compiled and presented our daily summary of world news. In today's fast-moving media world, Mark has always been a guarantee for solid, accurate reporting, able to sum up complex topics in a few well-written sentences. We're going to miss him, and the entire Africa Link team wish Mark all the very best for the future.
For more news and information, please visit our website, dw.com. I'm Mark Caldwell.
The voice of Mark Caldwell there. And we at Africa Link again wish him all the best.
Indeed, indeed. We'll miss him here at Africa Link.
Right, Isaac. Let's go back to this World Cup thing that FIFA now has granted Africa 9 slots at the 2026 World Cup.
Yeah, many soccer pundits were against the idea of increasing the teams to 48. Perhaps they are wondering how the calendar will look like, how the qualifications will look like, and whether the game, the tournament itself, won't be boring. But again, look here. It's been long that, you know, not only teams from Africa or countries from Africa have been limited to participating in this most prestigious, if I may say, football tournament in the world.
But again, when I'm thinking, if you have 48 teams, isn't that boring
for spectators? No, no, no. Everyone can be given a chance and prove their worth. But look, the only challenge will be the African teams also have to up their game, have to improve on their training academies to provide quality football at such a tournament. Of course, don't expect, you know, players, let's say, from the third division to come and try to prove their skills and all that. They must now start, you know, planning ahead. Start with the academies, the young kids, you know, By the time 2016 is not so far away, but again, it's not too early for them to up their game.
And are you hopeful that by then we will be able to lift the World Cup?
And they will. They will. Look, there are so many youngsters playing football at such an impeccable level of skill.
Let's hope we'll be alive to witness all that. There we come to the end of this edition of Africa Link. We really appreciated your company and hope you join us next week. Remember, you can follow us on Facebook and connect to us via WhatsApp. From me, Crispin Mwakideo.
And Isaac Mugabe.
Goodbye and nice weekend.